Paul is very clear in many of his writings, but in particular in this place, that we are a people who, because of what Christ has done, are moving from our prior address, our address in darkness, to a new address, an address in light. The dark we have left is clearly not a pretty thing. It has no particular similarity to the starry moonlit nights in which we enjoy being outside, and has a beauty that is wondrous in its own. No, the darkness with which that we have left is oppressive. It is a place where despair rules and where one dare not hope. It is a place where there are few, if any, opportunities for improvement. It is a downward cycle of sin, evil, and despair. It's violent and it crushes. One can even imagine the similarity with a black hole in the astronomical world, in which all things are sucked in and crushed into matter or even antimatter, something that is completely without life. It is hard to imagine our lives being so destined for such darkness. But the reality is that if we account for the scriptural story in the proper way, we will understand that as natural human beings, born without grace, born in sin, destined for death and nothing else, that is the natural outcome of our lives. We are a people from our birth who without Christ are destined for the deepest darkness. But Paul does not leave the people of Ephesus there, and he does not leave us there. For by God's grace, in Jesus Christ, by the power of the Spirit, we are children of light. By the grace of God given to us, we have turned away from the darkness that we were destined for, and we are now moving ever closer into the light of Christ. This grace is not available to us as an idea. This grace is not available to us just as a historical fact. This grace is not available to us as a future possibility only. This grace is given to us in this very moment. As in this very moment, you can feel the very edge of darkness at your back, suggesting that maybe you ought to come back, or guiding you, pulling at you, trying to draw you in to its despair. Face forward toward Christ. My friend Harold, who lived over on Hilton Place, across the street from me, Cattywampus, I lived on Upland Place, had a mom and a grandma that lived with him. And during the summer, when most of us would head inside to cool off in the heat of the day or find a shade tree, oftentimes Harold and I would find ourselves playing on his living room floor. It could be any number of things. It could be army men. It could be Lego. Sometimes we played canasta with his mom and his grandma. But the one thing that was consistent about each and every one of those days was that the TV over by the wall next to the dining room would be on, and at some point, some appointed time, there would move across the screen, and I don't know, some of you older people will remember, the screen would come across with this shadow of dark, and it would start the soap opera, The Edge of Darkness. Y'all remember that? I thought it was a good name. It was a good name for a soap opera. It kind of expresses where people were in the soap opera, but it also, sad to say, expresses where most of us are. We are on the edge of darkness, facing Christ, but often being pulled back, often against our will, into the ways of darkness. We know we should move forward loving God and loving others as ourselves. But there's that pull in our world of violence, of greed, violence turning into vengeance, vengeance turning into rightful vengeance, greed, wanting more, wanting the latest, wanting the best, the biggest, wanting to be like others, always pulling us back away from the light. It is the golden rule of Jesus, or the first and second commandment, if you will, that helps focus us toward that light, to remind us what it is that we are about and who it is that we belong to. You shall love God as with your whole body, mind, soul, and spirit, and you will love your neighbor as yourself. Let's look at ourselves for a second. Ask these questions, a sort of examination. Think about this day, and maybe yesterday and this week that you've just spent. Can you identify, as you think about this week, moments when the love of Christ did not play a role in your attitudes? Is there a place where you were particularly hateful or afraid or angry or vengeful? Was there a place where you were looking with the eye of Christ, where your heart was touched and your arms and your hands and your mouth moved to action and kind words? Was there a place where you found yourself praying for someone who was suffering? Was there a place where you found yourself looking at somebody with disgust, thinking that God could not possibly love them? We are a people on the edge of darkness. That's why we're here. We know that we need help. That if it were not for the one who won for us this light and who is continually enlightening us, that we would be drawn back into the deepest and darkest despair. And so we come. And we come and place ourselves once again in the arms of our God, who invites us to be healed, to understand that it's tough, and to forgive us our sins. That's why we confess our sins. So we take the time to remember that the darkness is grasping at us and is trying to bring us into a place that will destroy us. We come to confess our sins so that we will be given that hand and that word of love that draws us back into the light and strengthens us. How did you interact with others this week? Did you love your neighbor in ways that were Christ-like? Or did you curse them? Or find them disgusting? Did you see a person that you thought couldn't possibly know God and couldn't possibly receive God's love, and remark to yourself that they didn't deserve it? Have you looked about the world and looked with fear, thinking that the only way to solve the problem was to destroy others? Have you thought about the economics of our situation and wondered if you could protect your own and let other people take care of themselves and protect their own, even if they have nothing, or even if it's taken from them due to greed or hook or crook, or, and maybe this also, you thought about doing the kind thing and went and did it for another? That you decided not to give in to fear, but you took heart and stepped out in faith. Maybe it was that you saw somebody, a member here at the church, that you find difficult. And you said to yourself, no, I won't make it worse, I'll make it better. And I'll speak with kindness and love. And then, the love of God. How have you loved God this week? How have you loved God today? Have you devoted each and every moment to a sense of God? Has your every action, your every word, been a godly word spoken from that deep depth of love that God has placed in you by the grace of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit? Have your words and actions edified others and built up the body of Christ? Have your words and actions glorified God and brought greater love in your heart for God's ways and God's creation and God's people? You see, we're a people on the edge of darkness. And that's why we come to worship. And that's why we confess. And that's why we have this table of these gifts of bread and wine. Because the reality is that Jesus is just not a historical person. And Jesus is not just somebody who's coming again to get us. Jesus is a real person now. Jesus is present by the power of the Spirit in your hearts, in our gathering, and in the gifts of this bread and wine. So that we may be a people continually turning away from darkness and drawn ever further by the love of God into the light that embraces us and builds us up and gives hope and joy for the world and for us. That knows the future is assured because the grace of God is at work in the power of Christ and the power of the Spirit. We don't save ourselves. On our own, we are being nibbled to death by darkness. But in Christ, we are making strides into the light. We are here. And we are centered and focused on the light. And we're not just enlightened from without. We're not just enlightened by that which is not us, but we are enlightened by that which comes and dwells in us. We are enlightened by Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and by the power of the Holy Spirit. We are people who can bravely and joyfully and with great peace and with great confidence stand as those who are saved by Christ, not out of any great thing we have done, but out of the great things that God has done for us in Christ. And we are a people called to keep that in mind in all times and places, that Jesus Christ is our salvation, that Jesus Christ is our very present help now, not yesterday and not tomorrow, but now. And that to walk in this time and in this place faithfully means to hold in our mind, our heart, and in our lives the reality that we are children of light, sons and daughters of the Holy One of Israel. Oh, friends, no bitter darkness and no despair for us if we keep Christ at the center of our life. Oh, we may err and stray as we pray in our confessions, but there is going to be no darkness, no despair, no crushing defeat for you and I and anybody else who Christ Jesus enlightens. This salvation, Christ, is these words, in the Lord. He uses them 48 times. In the Lord. You are people who are in the Lord because of the very things we celebrate and say and pray about today. The great works of God in Christ. Listen to the prayer of thanksgiving. It is the story, not just of the salvation of Israel, not just the story of Jesus, but the story of Jesus saving you and Jesus saving me. We say it because we need to remember we are children of the light.